Well, I tell you what, you guys should be thankful. Number one, am I on? No? Yeah? Okay. You should be really thankful. You have a very anointed praise and worship. I've spoken at concerts, big concerts with the biggest singers in country, or not country and western, but you know, just Christian, and I told them on stage in front of their fans, thousands of fans. I said, God's not looking for another song. He's not looking for another band. He doesn't need another, but he needs another anointed song and another anointed. And the difference with the anointing is the Holy Spirit's involved in it. And that's when people get set free. And that's when people get saved and they get healed. They get healed during the song. And I'm so thankful. And man, y'all are blessed. And I'm so thankful that God made it easy for you. If you read the Bible, y'all ever read the Bible? It's a good book. It'll really bless you if you read the Bible. Many times in there, God turns situations completely around, spit them out of the fish's mouth. Are you with me? And you would have thought you got to go through this 10-step process and you got to go back to Bible school and you got to do all of this. And all they did, and he's not the only one, I'm going to read two more, turn their whole future around, and all they did is pop, pop, and begin to just praise. And then I heard this. You know, God makes it simple. So all this condemnation of you're not good enough and you've wasted too much time and God, I can't do it and I'm this and I'm that. You need to stop that. That's all a lie from the enemy. All you need to do is just to lift your hands up and praise Him. And I heard this based on a scripture. When you pray, you enter into His presence. But when you praise, He enters into your presence. And that's back, the scripture that backs that is He inhabits. He gets on the scene. How many need God on the scene? Oh, come on now. We all need God on the scene. I don't care if you're in a whale's mouth. I don't care where you're at. If you're on a mountaintop and you're surrounded by enemies that want to kill you from all sides, it don't matter. You praise me. And I'm on the scene. That makes me not just want to praise on Sunday morning before the service. I need Him Monday when I'm going to work. I need Him at Walmart. I need him at the football game. I need Him everywhere. When I'm driving to a meeting, I want Him there. So what do? Praise Him. Praise Him. Well, Chip, you got to get in the Word. Oh, you'll want to get in the Word, man. This is all about seeking God, praising Him. This is all about the plan of God. God wants me to talk to you. This is early in January, and you talked a little bit about plan. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. He is the planner, and He has it already planned out. Now, that's kind of hard for the human brain to figure out that He's already got your future planned out. Cricket. Well, I got some choices to make. Yeah, but He's got it already planned out. I'm going to show it to you scripturally. But you think of plans, and when you're a kid, you don't have plans. Man, you just play and eat and sleep and dream about birthdays and Christmas. And then all of a sudden, you grow up and go to school, and somebody tells you, you need a plan. What's your plan? What do you mean, plan? Well, you're gonna go to college. You're going to work after. You're going to go to tech school. You're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, here comes life with all these plans. And then you have kids and this and that and jobs and plans come up. You need a plan. There's going to be two championship games played today. And they're going to be game plans. Good coaches have game plans. They're studying to get the game plan out. And how many know that if you have a plan and you know the plan that, you know, you're going to have more success, right? I told a story last time I was here. It's a couple years ago, so I don't know if you were here, about a team that I had, that the Smurfs. I'm going to tell another Smurf story. And this is a group of I coached high school, college, and professional, but the funnest to me was high school. And we had this group that set records, and it's one of the most winningest programs in the nation to this day. I think they've won 32 state championships, but it started when we didn't have anything. We didn't have a field, nothing. And I called these guys a Smurfs because they were little, not blue. They were little, because if they were blue, that made me Papa Smurf. And they were overcomers. They were just overcomers. They were short. And I was driving them to a game. You know, when you're a high school coach, usually you're also the bus driver. I mean, maybe not here. Y'all look like you got a pretty nice sized school, but the school I was at was little. And I remember one time driving the bus, and I looked up in that mirror to see the Smurfs, and I looked back, and I didn't see any. I thought I left them all. Then I hit a bump, and I saw their ball caps pop up. So. Just kidding. I'm throwing that in there. Now, but we get to this tournament, and I notice that every scout is there, every cross-checker's there. And that means cross-checker means they got the check to sign, or the draft is coming up, and they're going to sign the kid. And I may have told this story before here, but it bears repeating. Plus, I want to hear it again myself. but anyway, we get there, and I said to everybody, I said, you know, why are all the scouts here? And they said, well, this one guy's going to pitch, and he's never lost, and he's going to go number one in the draft. And how fast he throws today is going to decide how many millions he makes and signs for. And by the way, he's going to be pitching against you guys. And I was like, oh, well, great. And I thought, why? So anyway, I go back, and I knew the Smurfs were waiting, and I knew I had to go back with a plan. Everybody say plan. I got to have a plan. What is the plan? So I go back, and I said, you know, I'm thinking, what is the plan? And then I got it. It came to me, whether it was God or not. I knew the plan was. And I went back to him and I said, guys, this is going to be the greatest day in your lives. You'll be talking about this day for many years to come. Because we have an opportunity to win and beat this guy who's never been beat. And so anyway, they said, yeah, but how are we going to do it? We need a plan. Now here's the thing about these Smurfs that I want you guys to hear. Yeah, they were short. But they were willing and obedient. There are a lot of Christians that are obedient, but they're not really willing. Are you with me? God said on the first offering to Abraham, he said, you tell them to bring that offering up and with a willing heart. In other words, I'm not going to take it. If they don't bring it up with a willing heart, well, we know the New Testament says he loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver, a willing. You know what that means? I get to. Yeah. It all ties in with I get to. The Smurfs were I get to. You have a plan. We get to beat this guy, but nobody's ever beat him. Everybody, he's going to be the number one draft pick. He throws in the high 90s, almost 100. We get to. Just give us a plan. Just give us a plan. That's how we ought to be as Christians. Little Smurfs going, what's the plan? What's the plan? And so I said, guys, he's going to throw. How hard he throws is going to determine how many millions he signs for. And you know that when you overthrow, you tend to leave the ball up. And I said, he's going to leave the ball high. He's going to leave it high. It's going to come in high. So they still didn't get it. I said, he's going to come in high. The ball's going to come in high. I got excited. They still didn't get it. I said, would you look how short you guys are? He's going to throw it high. We're short. He's not going to throw a strike. So nobody swing until you get two strikes. But you're not going to get two strikes. He's going to walk you. His coach is going to come out and go, get the ball down. He's going to have to take velocity off to get it down. We're going to be able to hit it. I'll give you the green light. And we're going to have, oh man, they got that plan. And those little Smurfs said, whoo! They were thankful for being short for the first time in their life. They were strutting out there. Look how short we are. Now, normally when somebody went against this pitcher, they were scared to death. You could see our confidence because we had a what? We had a plan. So our first batter gets up there and he was our shortstop. Literally. So he's the shortest of the group. He gets up there, looks at me, does his helmet, got the plan, smiles, and then he gets in. And he didn't have to. He's already short. He gets in and he goes, whoa. He even goes lower. Catcher's like on the ground. So all the radar guns are there. All everybody's there. And he's going to light it up, man. Millions of dollars are on the line. He rears back and pow! Nobody saw it. I mean, just high 90s. You don't see that thing. It's just, you don't. We weren't trained to hit it. And the umpire goes, ball high. We were so glad he said high. Because it was all part of the plan. Are y'all with me? And so he said high, ball one. And I mean, our dugout erupted like it was a home run. Why? Because it was all part of the
plan.
See, so we erupt on ball one like it's a home run. We're high-fiving, chest bumping. And everybody in the stands and their team looks at us like, woo-hoo-hoo! We got a, that was just a ball. You know, relax. So anyway, he walks first one, second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one. So it's like 2-0, bases loaded, no outs. Our coach calls timeout and says, get the ball down. Exactly what I had said that was going to happen. He gets the ball down. I give a green light. The guy hits it in the gap. Now, this guy's never been beat. He's never been beat. He was number one prospect. And as a matter of fact, he goes on and has a great career and wins 2 World Series and 2 MVPs and 2 or 3 National League All-Star games. I mean, this dude was a stud. And we beat him that day 15-0. He won't talk about that day. But our Smurfs are talking about that day. Oh, they're telling their little baby Smurfs. Oh, yeah. But all because we had a plan. Well, let me give you something. They were willing. Are you ready to be willing? It's good to be willing. You know, you can have teams that are obedient, but they're not really willing to do it. God said to Brother Copeland one time, Kenneth Copeland, he said, I've done all I can do through you. Man, how would you like to hear that? How would you like to hear? As a matter of fact, it was said like this. I have gone as far as I can go because of your choice. We've gone as far as we can go. I got more. Stay with me now. I got more planned out, but we've gone as far as we can go with you. Man, he didn't want to hear that. This is years ago when he was doing daily television, started in daily television, and he hated daily television. He liked the results of it. The anointing would come on when he would do it, but he hated doing it. So he wasn't willing. Are y'all with me? He wasn't willing. He was obedient. And he said, Lord, well, why have we gone? We can't go any further. I want to go further. And he said, because you haven't been willing. You've been obedient, but you haven't been willing. And he repented. You don't have to repent. You get to.
Amen. That's right.
And he knew what to do. He knew how to start believing it and speaking it. So he looked in the mirror and says, I love daily television. You could even tell he didn't look like it. But he didn't care. He's just going to do what the Word says to do. Believe it in your heart, speak it, and you'll have it. He said it every day. I've been on daily television with him. He'd come in there. Chip, I love daily television. Yes, sir. Whatever you say. Kept speaking it. All of a sudden, it hit him. He was on a show with Bill Winston. Hit him in the middle of the show. He loved it. He spoke it. He loved it. It changed him. And he couldn't wait. Let's do more. Let's do 4 a day. Man, you couldn't keep up with him. And because of that willingness, he thought there's no way in his mind he could go any further. God opens this door up because his willingness. Doesn't the Bible say something about willingness? If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And because he did that, that is when the Lord brought that deal with Dish TV and gave him that channel and gave him to pay for it. And now he's getting ready to go on Direct TV and all over the world witnessing the gospel. Because God had a plan. I had it all along. This is God, by the way. He's not. No, just praise me. I'll get you out of that thing. Get you right back on the plan. I'll even make it better. Oh, somebody up there need to listen to me. I'll even make it better than it could have been in the first place. Oh, I'm going to show that to you in the Word now. I can make it. No, I've blown it. I've blown it. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do that. God can make it even better than it was supposed to. Do y'all believe that or not? Well, if you don't, then watch the rest of them, because here we go. Amen. So let's read Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14 on the screen in the message, just to see if God is a planner or not. Where is it? Oh, over here. I know what I'm doing. This is God speaking. Aren't you glad He knows what He's doing? Do y'all believe He knows what He's doing? God knows what He's doing. I have it all planned out. Hello? Planned out. He has it already planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Woo! Man, I don't know about you, but what's the plan, God? Give us a plan. Click. When you call on me, oh, here we go. Now, here's your part of it, right? When you call on me, when you come to me and pray to me, I'll listen. Sure, I will. Click. When you come looking for me, and everything's by faith right now, and you'll find me. Yeah, when you get serious about finding me, and you want it more than anything else, you get real smurfy about it, in other words. You get willing about it. Click. I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. That's my decree. I'll turn things around for you. Now, he's talking to Israel right here. But he is in covenant with Israel, and he's also in covenant with us. Right? Listen to me. He will turn things around for you. I know, but I hush. Y'all know what hush means in Texas, don't you? Come on now. I grew up in Oklahoma, not real north. Hush! He will turn things around for you. He didn't make it hard for you. Just start praising. Now, glory to God. Now, I want to show it to you where this is scriptural. We tell our youth, I have been to motivational and inspirational type conferences where I was a speaker. Guys would come up before me. I'm talking about Hall of Fame people. And it's just that they don't know any better spiritually. But Gatorade has commercials. You'll see them today on commercials. Nike has them. And we tell our youth, watch this. It's going to sound really good, and you're going to go, Chip, wait a minute. But if you don't understand the truth, listen, that we tell our youth, you can be whatever you want to be or whoever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. And we sell that to our youth. You can, but really, that's a lie from the devil. What are you talking about? Our job is not to decide our plan. Our job is to discover the plan. Now, you're going to have to meditate on that. The plan has already been planned out. And He'll make it better. He'll reopen doors, open new doors, reconnect. He's the navigation. He's the recalculator. When you get lost in your GPS, come on now, and you made the wrong turn, what does it say? Recalculating. You know what I'm talking about, the little GPS lady. And I remember I was in Houston, and I missed it like six times. I can see the hotel. It just say recalculating. It wouldn't get an attitude. It could have. It could have went into idiot mode and shut down and just exploded in 5 seconds. This will self-destruct. But it just said recalculate. And finally, I get there because it had 7 exits, A, B, C, D, and I just kept taking the wrong one. But anyway, finally I get there and she says, you have reached your destination. And I said, finally. And the Lord said, don't you think if a box, a GPS box, can finally get you to your destination, no matter how many times you missed it, don't you think I, the Creator, would not move heaven? And I mean, God, God, what have we been doing? Sitting here lied to. You blew it. You can't do it. Oh, man, yeah, can you do this? Can you do that? That got Jonah spit out of a whale. Jonah was getting ready to exit the whale one way or the other. Nobody ever preaches about the other. They don't preach that in vacation Bible school with Kool-Aid and Oreos, crayon. They need to. He's in there 3 days. It's getting smellier and smellier. Can you imagine that's the way to go? How'd your dad die? Oh, well. He fertilized the ocean anyway. He's wrapped up and he's getting ready to go out the other way. And finally, what does the Bible say? He began to give the sacrifice of praise. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In a smelly, stinky situation. God, boom. He didn't have to do this and have to do that. He just raised his hand. God, thank you. Well, what happens when you thank and praise God? He inhabits the situation. So y'all don't need him, really? You're looking at me like you got it all together and you don't need him? Whoo, well, y'all need to teach me something. I'll learn. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to know how God is. God's got a plan for me? What is it? Let's go. Let's go. Well, keep praising me. Yes, sir. Keep working. I mean, think about it. Paul and Silas, prison, chained up, midnight. No, you're going to need to do this, and you're going to need to read so many chapters, and you're going to have to go back. You're going to have to. No, 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 no. Praise and worship me. Well, did God show up? I said, did God show up? Chains fell, the earthquake, the walls fell down. I mean, God shows up. I don't know about you, but we just had an opportunity to praise Him. We just had it. And we're going to worry about what we don't have and what we're going through. Instead, we're on the same team of who can come in there. Right then, recalculate the whole thing and make it better than it was before. That's the truth. It's just the... Now listen, I'm going to show it to you scripturally. I keep telling you that. All right, I'll do it. So we're not to decide the plan. We're to discover. That's why you seek Him and all these things are added unto you. Don't seek the plan. Don't seek the race, seek His face. He'll show you the race. He'll open the doors. You don't want the doors. You don't want to open the doors. Quit trying to do that. Just lift your hands up, praise Him, worship Him, seek Him. Get to know Him. Love Him. Man. So, Psalm 139, 16. When you got a mama like me, how many knows Billy Brim? Okay. Can y'all get it up here? All right. All right. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which contends were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. This book has been seen by many people who have went to heaven. Help me out. His name. No, the one we were talking about in your office. You knew, you grew up.
Robert.
Yeah, Henderson. Robert Henderson, when he went to heaven, he saw this book. It's on a pedestal. It's near the throne. This is not the book of life. This is the book of destinies. This is the book that everybody's name's written, and the plan of God is all written in it for everybody in this book. We'll see it. Many people have seen this book, and the Jews know about this. They believe it. That's why they're so successful. One of the reasons why they're so successful is because they know that God has a plan for their life. They pray for that child. They pray for the name of that child, and then they call that child that name, and then they'll the occupation or whatever God or the plan of God is for that child, and then they'll say, where's my little lawyer? They'll even say that. We've been in their houses. Where's my doctor? Come in and eat. Little doctor, come. He might be 5 years old. There's our little doctor right there. That child hears that. God already has a plan. They prayed it out, and there it is. So here's this book where everybody is written in this book. And in continuance were fashioned when there was none of them. So, Mom gives books for Christmas. I got this series that was the rabbi commentary from when it was written. So I went to Psalms 139:16 and hear what was written. Are y'all ready for this? Just stay with me. This is pretty heavy. This is what was written. Now, what I'm reading to you, I wrote it down here, but what I'm reading to you, what was written when this happened, when this was written. This was the commentary by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through rabbis. Are you ready for this? To God, everything, 139, what this means is, to God, everything is already finished, already written in a book, already written in a book. This is what they said. This is the account, just as it was in Genesis 5:1. This is the account of the descendants of Adam. While Adam was still an unshaped form, the Creator showed him all the generations of his descendants, every generation and its leaders, every generation is scholars and preachers. In addition, God revealed to Adam the number of their years, days, and hours. He even counted out before Adam the numbers of every step that every man is destined to take. Destined to take. Planned to take. Your choice. God is the planner, and He has it, and He's on your side. He's in covenant with you. Amen? Praise God. Recalculating. Somebody say recalculating. The hours. He said, this is your destiny. It's written in a book. This is from the Jews. The Almighty, the architect of creation, wrote this book. This is the blueprint which records all divine master plan for mankind. For God is omniscient, for He foresees and knows everything about man, yet man himself has no inkling of his own future, so it remains a wonder and a mystery to him. But what's even more wondrous is this divine paradox that everything is foreseen by God, yet man has the freedom of choice. God knows the plan. God knows the future, but man has a choice. Why do you think your pastor is preaching choose? He's led by the Holy Spirit. When God made man, what's the first thing He said to him? Choose life, not death. Choose blessings, not cursing. At wherever you're at, financially, health-wise, anything, wherever you're at to this day, is all results of choices that you made. Not because God wasn't there, or the devil did this. Quit giving the devil all this credit. I mean, he's getting all this credit. You choose. You have the authority. Amen? It is man who is the sinner who allows darkness and gloom into his life, but God endowed man with the power of repentance, which he can rekindle the light and get back on track on the plan of God. You don't have to repent. You get to. What I mean by that is, if you're born again, you're in. God is in. I mean, if you believe that and you spoke it, then God's a covenant God. He's not going to back out on that covenant. But if you want the devil to just continually to open wrong doors and get you in the wrong path and the wrong year after year, that's your choice. But God has a better plan. And He can get you back on it immediately. Is anybody getting anything on this? All right, now let me back this. Okay, Psalm 25:14. Let's go to that one. This is not going to make any sense to you unless you have Billy Brim as a mother who's a Hebrew scholar. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. She said, in the Torah, that's the Hebrew Bible, the secret of the Lord is for Him to show them who He is in covenant with, the plan that He has for them. If you back up to verse 4, 8, 10, 12, it's talking about the word path or derek. God, listen, everybody, if you don't get anything, get this. It's God's part of the covenant legally. It's His part of the covenant to make sure that this plan that He has for you, that He reveals it and helps show you the plan. It's His job. But you have to be willing and obedient. Amen? Yes, Lord. Sometimes all it takes is this right here. Lord, I thank You. God, I... Whoo! There you go. Spit out of that situation. Now, God will always do His part, but we got to do our part. And I'm telling you, He showed me one time in a vision a goal line, and He said, millions of people are 1 yard away from their answered prayer, from their destiny. And they lay down and they quit because it got too tough. And all they got to do is just get up and start praising and worshiping. That gets me on the scene. All right, now let's look at two examples. Let's go to Jeremiah 33:11. Or maybe three, I don't know. Jeremiah 33:11. We'll do it quick. All right, let's read this. Y'all ready? Everything you just heard. And the voice of joy. Isn't that interesting? Joy has a voice. Right? And the voice of gladness. What's the opposite of gladness? Sadness. Have you ever seen any sad Christians? Absolutely. Hello? Just go to church. They'll tell you about it. They'll tell you about what plan's not working. They'll tell you, they'll brag more on the devil than they will anything else. Man, that's not what you do. Your voice should be used for joy. Your voice should be used for gladness. Man, champions don't talk that way. I've been on every level. You don't talk sadness and defeat. You don't talk loss. So you get beat, boom, burn that tape. Here we go. We're going forward. Press on, forgetting the past and looking to the future, Paul said. Yeah. Amen. The voice of the bride and the voice of them that shall say. Everybody say them. Yeah. Now it says the voice of them. Everybody say them. Yeah. So this is only for them. Now this could include you. But it's for them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. Right? For the Lord is good. Uh-oh, what's happening now? My hands are up. Uh-oh, I'm in a well. For the Lord is good. Lord, I've made some bad decisions. And I even got sound effects. And I'm getting ready to be well poop. Let's just put it. But the Lord is good. Now that's what you're supposed to be using your voice for. Here we go. And His mercy endureth forever. And of them, somebody say them, that shall bring this sacrifice of praise. Now that's what Jonah did. Of them into the house of the Lord, I will call. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't understand. Not you. I, part of my covenant, will make what? I will cause the return, the captivity of the land as it was at the first. Oh, let me give you the translation for this. American Standard. I will restore all your fortunes. Everything that was yours in my plan as it was, and make it even better than it could have been in the beginning. To who? To them who use their voice for joy. To who? For them who praise, because that's their choice. The Lord said to me, as long as you got a voice, you got a choice. You got a choice. I looked up the word fortunes, possessions and goods, everything that's yours. We sing that song, and don't get me wrong, I like it. I'm going to go take back what the enemy... God said, I'll do it. I just need you to change what's coming out of here and here. You want to keep looking at the negative? That grieves the Holy Spirit. That stops the plan. I can't. I won't. I'll never. We always do this and we never can have this. I get to. Lord, I love you. Lord, in the midst of this wail, I just want to praise you and thank you. Whoo!
Recalculating.
Recalculating is a good thing. You're going to eventually get there. Amen? Are y'all okay? All right, let's go forward. Let's go to another one. David at Ziklag. 1 Samuel 30, 1 through, 4, and then we'll jump to 6. All right? And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, everybody say Amalekites, had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten and burned it. Now, let me tell you, can I teach you something about Amalekites real quick? And I was taught by Greek scholars on this. Or Hebrew scholars. The Amalekites, and please, don't just take my word for this. Study this out. You'll find it. The Amalekites were known. This is what they do. Like a Geico commercial. This is what they do. They always would go in, kill all the children. They were opportunists. They would go in when they were always at war. Whoever they were attacking, the men were at war. The Amalekites would come in, and they would rape the women, kill the children, and then kill the women after they raped them. Then they would burn down the everything, burn it completely down. They never once were recorded where they did not do that except for here. Except for here. Well, now there's a reason why except for here. Because God is in covenant in something. Watch this now. Are you with me? The Amalekites always did this. All right, now watch this. And the writer of this scripture is going to try to get this across to you. Watch, click. And they had taken the women captive. They don't do that. That were therein, they slew not any. Now, do you see what he's trying to say? They didn't even kill them. That's what he's trying to say. If it was translated today. They took them, and they didn't kill them. They couldn't do it. And either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Click. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So can you imagine what David's thinking? Click. Then David and the people were with him, lifted up their what? Everybody say it. What are you using your voice for? Now here's even a great example. David, the giant killer, the rock star, the one who God said is a man after my own heart, the greatest king of Israel, did great things for God. God had a wonderful plan. Even David had missed it. Even David had used his voice for the wrong thing. Are you all with me? So don't feel bad. You're in pretty good company. All right? And they lifted up their voice. You don't do that. You don't lift your voice up to do this. No, but by faith, that's what your voice is for. To believe in God and trust in God. That's what this is for. That's what's going to keep me on the right path. And they lifted up their voice and they wept until they had no more tears to weep. I've studied that out. I preached this there. I've been there. And he cried out to God, "Where are you? Where are you?" And so, can you imagine what they're thinking? It can't get any worse than this. I bet there's people right now thinking, it can't get any worse than this. And there ain't no way it can get better. But we know the end of the story. Yeah. Are you with me? But David, at this particular moment, doesn't think it can. Because why? The Amalekites always kill the women. They rape them and kill them. He had two wives, so in his mind, they're raped and dead. His men's children are all dead. Well, it gets worse. Verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stone. They blame him. So his men grabbed stones to kill him because the soul of the people were grieved. They're all grieved. Is there grief at your house? Is there grief in your life? Man, you need to get rid of this. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But then David stopped and he did something different and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Nobody else did it. He didn't call his pastor. He got up because he knew. He remembered the lion. He remembered the bear. He remembered Goliath. He remembered how God was in covenant with him and how God did all these victories through him. He remembered he wasn't alone. He remembered, my God, wait a minute. And when you encourage yourself in the Lord, you get happy. And you remember that covenant with Him. And then he began to use his voice, not for crying out with tears where he had no more tears to weep, but tears of joy and excitement and trusting God. Guess what happened? Recalculating. So let's see what happens at the end of this because he made this discovery. Let's go to verse 18, 19, and 20. And David recovered all. Somebody say all. See, he went into the Holy of Holies, God said, you don't go in His presence is the presence of what? Joy. And He says, you'll recover all. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his wives. Click. And there was nothing lacking. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil. What spoil? Everything that they had won in all their previous wars, they even got that. Nor anything that had taken to them, David recovered all. Click. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which were they drove before them, others' cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. Took him 3 days, and everybody got immediately wealthy. Everybody who was back at camp that didn't go became immediately wealthy, and God's plan came to pass. Now, before David's sitting there crying, watch this, with no more tears. Now, if he decided to stay there and not use his voice for gladness and encouragement, they would have died. He wouldn't have seen any of this. He would have never seen the plan of God. But instead, he had as long as David has the voice, he's got a choice. And he got up and he encouraged himself. And he recalculated. That's what all the Lord is, this is what he's saying to you. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm there for you. Just pop, pop. Lift up two hands and begin, Lord, I love you and I thank you. And I praise you and I glorify you. Stay with it now. Stay with it. Don't let these thoughts get in there. No, you just continue. Only joy. Only goodness. All right, let me give you one more. I want to give you one more story. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 4. And then we'll go 13 through 17. Same thing. All right. After this, the army. Okay, you're going to have to just bear with me. I'm not one of these like mom that can name every one of these. All right, so they declared, these groups declared war on Jehoshaphat. Click. All right, and the messengers came to Jehoshaphat, and they said, man, you are surrounded. They were at En-Gedi. I've been there. Click. We have enemies surrounding you from everywhere. Jehoshaphat was what? By this news, and he begged the Lord for what? We're at January, and we're talking about guidance. We're talking about God's plan. And he begged the Lord for guidance. All right? How many want guidance from the Lord? He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. Now, this is not God. This is Jehoshaphat. Click. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. All right, let's skip on down to verse 13 just to get it rolling. As all of the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, click, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was whatever his name is. Son of Zechariah, son of... All right, here we go through all of this. All right, click, verse 15. He said, listen. Now, this is God speaking through a man. Listen, all of you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen. Everybody who lives in Grosbeck, Texas, listen to me. Everyone who lives in, how do you pronounce where I'm staying? Mahaya. I want to say Mexia. Mahaya. Listen to me. Everybody, let's just cover it. Texas. Listen to me, right? King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't let fear in there. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army for the battle. Oh, now there's people right now going, well, he ain't fighting my battle. Well, are you letting him? Because everything's legal with God. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Click. Tomorrow, march out against them. Now, wait a minute. Hold on just a second. Record scratch. You just said the battle's yours. Why do we need to go out and march out tomorrow morning? Isn't that a good question? I'm pretty comfortable in the cave I'm in right here, eating falafels. I don't even really want to see the enemy. And God says, no, march up. Get up, march out. I want you to see this. You got a part to play. Be willing. Yes, sir. Be willing. March out against them. You'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. I don't know if I wanted 17 or not, did I? But you will not even need to fight. But take your positions. What is the position? It's the position of praise. I'm telling you. Somebody say the position of praise. But take your position and stand there still. You stand there, and men, with grit. You stand there and you watch the Lord's victory because you're not alone. I am with you. Oh, people of Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Let's go to verse 20 through 25 and we'll wrap it up. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoah. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. Click. After consulting the people, that means coaching them. He coached them. The king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army. He coached them. Why did he coach them? Now watch this. Because this happened the day before. He knew that when they lay eyes, when they bend this corner and lay eyes on this enemy, trust me, I've been there. The enemy was as far as they could see. Otherwise, they would have went, oh no, discouraged. We can't win. They would have forgotten what God said yesterday. So he consults them and coaches them again. Now listen, in other words, this is right before those doors open today and they play the AFC, NFC Championship or the Super Bowl or the World Series. I've been there. Right before you go in those doors and you hear that opposing crowd of 65,000 people and they're screaming and calling your mama different things. I need you to focus. Come on, I've been there as a player and I've been there as a coach. Focus! Take your positions and stand in the position and do what you're supposed to do. This is what we tell our guys. That's what he's telling them. Do your job. Do your job. And he says, so he appoints singers to walk ahead of the army singing to the Lord so that they would be just singing to the Lord. Woo! Just singing. Here we come out of the locker rooms. Does this bring back any remembrance of any movie or anything? Ooh. Ah. Oh. Ooh. Okay, all right, all right. And they're praising him for the splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is faithful and his love endures forever. That's the same thing that was said earlier. Click. At that very moment, what moment? That they began to sing and give what?
Praise.
Come on. I said at that very moment. Somebody say that very moment. That they begin to what?
Praise.
When you praise God, he does what? When you pray, you enter into his presence. When you praise, he what? And at that very moment, they begin to what? Sing and praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. And he wanted them to see it and to see what he was going to do for them. First, click. The armies of Moab turned against their allies of Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the armies of Seir, they began attacking each other. Click. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not one single one of the enemy had escaped. Click. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it. Amen. God made it better than they could possibly even imagine. God is in covenant with us. Amen. He will make it better. Don't get under condemnation. Repent. Just repent. Lord, when you repent, it gets the accuser out of the courthouse. He's the accuser of the brethren. Now legally, the devil is out of the picture. Now begin to praise. Now begin to worship. Oh, get your thoughts on. Paul said, think on these things that are true, that are lovely, that are good report. Think on these things. Yeah, thoughts will come. But big deal. You're not a bad person for that. Brother Hagin used to say, well, I can't keep birds from... I cannot keep birds from flying over my head. Birds are always going to fly over my head. But I'm not going to let them make a nest in my hair. I can do that. I can do that. Well, what is he talking about? Thoughts will come. Oh, it's a thought. I'm a bad person. I failed you. Thoughts will come. Just don't let them make a nest in your head. Cast down those imaginations. Speak to it. Lord, oh, here's who I am. Glory to God. I'm in covenant with God, and I praise Him, and I thank Him, and I love Him. Woo! Are y'all with me? Recalculating. Stay strong right there. Now, I'm going to tell you something about tonight. I've been preaching for 20 years. I've been Billy's boy for a lot of years. I'm not going to tell you. A lot of years. But tonight, I thought I was going to share it today, but I knew to do it tonight because there was a couple pastors last night said, I'm coming tomorrow night. They said, I'm supposed to be there. And I said, man, I didn't tell them this. Maybe I'm supposed to preach that tomorrow night. And it's what everything's about. And I'm not just talking about souls. Souls are connected to this, but I'm going to tell you the story. If you want to know what everything's about, I'm telling you, Mom and I are doing this on TV right now, we're going to do it with Brother Copeland and Gloria Copeland. It's what everything's about. It's going to totally open your spiritual eyes and make sense on everything that's preached. And it's your spirit was born to hear what you're going to hear. So if you're a big football fan, I would suggest you to record the game. Don't tell each other whatever the score is, but don't miss tonight. Oh, I'll get the tape. Man, it ain't going to be the same. And every time we preach on it, the manifestation of it comes. The glory of the Lord. Let's just give you a little hint. The glory. The story of the glory. And how you're in this story. And I'm telling you, I've never been rocked before like this. And 20 years of preaching. And man, because I went to God about what is it all about. And I got led to souls and this, and then bam, we hit this one. Woo! And it's changed my life.
Hallelujah.
It's absolutely exploded to new areas and revelations. And it'll do the same for you. Amen. So... Be here. What time?
6.
6 o'clock tonight, all right? Have a good lunch, get a little nap, do whatever you need to do. Did anybody get anything out of today? How many know that God is the planner? And He has your plan. And it's not too late. Say it's not too late. Say it's not too late. Now you need to believe that. You need to believe it. And we need to go on praising Him. And we need to pick up the praise. We need to use our voice for what? Joy, gladness, thanksgiving. That's what your voice is for. Amen. Pastor, come on up.